This week we'll be looking at a marvelous fruit that often stems from a love of God and a love of His Word. That fruit being that of a healthy prayer life. And so this evening we'll be looking at three things. First, the right approach in prayer to God. Secondly, looking at a wrong approach in prayer. And then thirdly, rightly measuring our troubles. And these are three things that the psalmist will be taking up within this portion of his word this evening. We see at the very outset of this psalm in verse 145 that it begins with the cry of the psalmist. And as I said, I picked a number of psalms this evening that all speak to this matter of crying out to the Lord. This is not something that is uniquely found here in verse 145 or unique to the psalmist here, but rather this is a recurring theme throughout God's word of how His people, those who will worship Him rightly, will cry out to Him. This act of crying out to God speaks to a heart that is inclined to God, a heart that trusts fully in God. And we learn something of the one who is crying here. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. He cries out in recognition of the fact that the problem or the challenge or the hardship that is before him is far beyond his own capabilities to remedy. The psalmist here realizes that he is inadequate to the task. He is ill-equipped to free himself or to eliminate this threat that is before him. And so he cries out. He's desperate for help. And he knows that there is only one who has the power and the capability to remedy his current situation. And we see as he cries out, this is not a half-hearted cry. He says, with my whole heart, I cry out to you, O God. This is not a mere plea. This is not half-hearted in its nature, but rather he is completely laying out this cry to God. This is something that emanates from within him. This is not something that is taken lightly. And so he is rightly approaching God here in prayer as he does so in faith, trusting fully in the fact that God and God alone is the only one who can remedy his current difficulties. He is crying out to God from his heart. You see, too often our prayers can merely become things that we repeat. They can become something that we do from rote memory. And we see this, don't we, in our children. We teach our children to pray, and for the longest time, they may have a single prayer that they know and that they repeat time and time and time again. And we expect that when we're children and we're learning how to communicate with God for the first time. But too often we see that as we grow into adulthood, our prayers can often take on that same flavor as they were once issued as children, where we repeat without really thinking about what it is that we're praying to God, without it really activating our mind and emanating from our hearts. And we see a very different thing here in the approach of the psalmist as he cries out with his whole heart. This is something that he has wrestled with. This is something that he has thought much about. And he knows that the only relief that he can expect will be from that one who has proven himself faithful throughout his life, his deliverer, the Lord. And so we see that this one who would approach rightly the Lord in prayer asks in faith, asks from his heart. But he also rightly understands his place as a creature in relation to his Creator. He doesn't think too much of himself. He doesn't over-magnify his own abilities, but rather he cries out like a child to his heavenly Father because he understands his own abilities to be just like that of a small child, weak and ineffective and unable to provide for what he needs. Now, that is a right approach in prayer. And we see a similar thing laid out before us in Matthew 17, verse 20. But we also see that there are many examples within God's Word of wrong approaches in prayer. We see that oftentimes we will come to the Lord in prayer and perhaps we will think that it is the quantity of our words that will make our prayers effective. We see this in the example of the Pharisee and the tax collector within the temple courtyard who are praying to God. The one who is doing it with all of the gusto in order to gain the attention of those who are trying to worship around him, trying to use eloquent words to dazzle those who may hear him. But the man or woman of God who is truly seeking the aid of God is not interested in polished words, but rather they are coming with unpolished words and crying out to God out of desperation, out of great need, out of a desire for the security that is to be found only under the wings of God. You see, some want the praise of men. And that is not a way in which we approach God in prayer as well. We're not praying to God when we're seeking to impress those around us. We're looking for the accolades of men. And we should not expect that our prayers will be answered when the desire of our heart is not that God would act or hear us and act according to his will, but when we're really seeking to have our ears tickled by those who would sing our praises for the eloquence of our speech. In James 4, verses 1 through 10, we see such a thing on display there, where the wrong pursuits of people in listing prayer or how they approach God are laid out before us. Some will enlist prayer as kind of an insurance policy. You know, their real desire is to solve their own problems themselves, to lean upon their own understanding, even to lean upon their own strength. But as an afterthought, they'll pray. But they aren't coming before the Lord with faith that God will act. Rather, they're just trying to cover their bases. And that, too, is no right way that we would approach the throne of grace and anticipate that the Almighty God, the Creator of all things, would hear and act on our behalf. You see, too often we pray in a distracted, half-hearted fashion, out of mere habit or work. And in John 5:38, we're reminded, "You do not have His word abiding in you," as one of the reasons that we don't see our prayers being answered. Our prayers aren't instructed by and guided by the Word of God. We don't know His commands, and thus we find ourselves often praying contrary to the will of God, contrary to what He has revealed Himself within His Word. And so we're reminded that one of those things that would give to David in his cry to God the confidence that this was the right thing to do, to cry out with his whole heart to God, is the fact that he was regularly attending to the Word of God, meditating upon it, studying it, writing it upon his heart and his mind. And thus it was instructing his prayer. It was guiding him in the things that he would ask of the Heavenly Father, those things that God had revealed of himself within his word would give confidence to the one who is enlisting God in prayer that what he is asking is right. and not contrary to the will of the Father. And so we have there in the first half of this passage the right approach in prayer, and later we looked at the wrong approach to prayer. But then he gets to our third point, that of measuring our troubles. He gets down to verse 150. They draw near who persecute me with evil purposes, and they are far from your law. And for many of us, when difficulties befall us, when hardship comes upon us, we tend to become so focused upon that hardship that we don't see anything else. And that hardship or difficulty seems to be the only thing that occupies our vision. It seems to encompass us all around. But here, as we see the psalmist describing the hardships, and these are real hardships, this is real persecution that he is confronted with by those with evil purposes. He rightly identifies the fact that those who are his persecutors are far from the law of God, but if you go on, he says in verse 151, "But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." You see, for the man, woman, or child of God who know God, who have been attentive to the study of his word, who regularly are enlisting him in prayer, one of the things that begins to come forth from that is our sense of our Heavenly Father being with us, being near to us. We don't feel abandoned or all alone. But rather, we're comforted knowing that God is near. And we saw that as we read that passage from Daniel chapter 6, didn't we? As we saw the example of Daniel confronted with laws that were intended to do him harm, and yet he continued in his pattern of praying to God, contrary to the law of the land, to be near to God. His comfort was in continuing in those things which God had commanded. And in those things, he felt the nearness of God, such that when the law was then applied to him, he didn't despair, he didn't flee, he didn't run away, but rather he stood his ground, trusting in that one who was with him, that he would deliver him. Knowing that even if those lions had consumed him, his hope was in God and in the promises of God. But he knew that his God was most capable. You see, we tend to view our challenges as with a magnifying glass. So those challenges seem extremely large, don't they? And they seem large to us because we are, like the psalmist understands himself, very, very small. We're weak. And so those challenges seem extremely large. But too often we tend to view God as we might see an object in the passenger rearview mirror, don't we? They have to write that little disclaimer at the bottom of the mirror that objects are closer than they may appear. We may have a sense of God being far off when we find ourselves in difficulties. But here, the psalmist is reminding us that, no, God is near. Even in the midst of these difficulties, he is with me. He concludes this portion of his word saying, "Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." Now, this kind of goes back to last week where we were dealing with God's righteousness, and the result of that righteousness of God is that the word which he would give would itself have to be in keeping with his character, with his righteousness, and it was unchanging. And for the man, woman, and child of God, that unchanging nature of the Word of God gives to you and I confidence and comfort and stability. It does prove for us a foundation and it doesn't change. So that here the psalmist, as he ends this portion of Psalm 119, speaking about those who persecute him, he's comforted knowing that God is near, but he is also comforted knowing that God's word will not change. His testimonies, his promises are sure. They will not change, but rather they have been founded by God forever. This is a comfort to us. In Luke 21, verses 31 to 33, we're reminded that God's kingdom is near and that his words won't pass away. You see, this is found repeatedly throughout God's word, this idea of God's nearness, this idea of God's word being unchanging, unshifting. And this is something that really makes the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God unique among all pagan religions. Few, if any others, show this kind of stability. They don't. So many other gods are fickle. Their declarations change. There is no stability. But the word of God remains the same forever. And so what is it that God would have us take from this passage? One, we see again, if the knowledge of God's word is occupying our hearts and our minds, it will, in a wonderful way, affect our approach to our Heavenly Father. It will instruct us that we will approach Him rightly. It gives us confidence to ask things that we will know from His word are in accord with His will, with confidence. And we will, in the face of difficulties, sense the nearness of God as He is with us. It's one of the great joys of the Christian life, is knowing that as we gather here this evening, that He is pleased to be with us. It's a comfort to us to know that our God is not a God that has to be awakened with the ringing of bells or the clapping of hands, for He is ever attentive to the cries of His people. And so as we grow in our knowledge of His word, as that word becomes something that we lean upon more and more, may God be pleased to bring about in our lives this wonderful fruit of a healthy and regular prayer life, where we are rightly seeking His face day after day after day and throughout the day, where we are communicating with God from our hearts in a meaningful fashion, and where we are entrusting ourselves to His most capable care and protection, trusting fully in His promises that do not change. And so as we go through this week, may this be a challenge for us to give ourselves more regularly to prayer, to be attentive to how we are seeking God in prayer, and to seek to utilize God's word to guide us as we would go before His throne and seek His assistance. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You, God, that You are not far off, and that You have not kept us at a distance, Lord, but rather through Christ, You have enabled us to come before You and to cry out to You. Lord, may You be pleased to develop our prayer life. Lord, may You be pleased to cause us to cry out to You when we are in need. And Lord, to enlist prayer even when we are not. For Lord, it is easy sometimes to turn to prayer when difficulties arise, but too often, Lord, like we saw even after 9/11, that urgency of prayer soon fades away. Or like we saw at the beginning of this pandemic, where prayer was being regularly enlisted, Lord, we can grow cool over time. Lord, may our prayer life not grow cool, but may our prayer life grow as you are pleased to work within us through the work of your Holy Spirit to instruct us in your word. Lord, may we be diligent in meditating upon your word, such that when we come before you, Lord, we would pray according to your will, as you are pleased to instruct us in your will, as you have revealed yourself. And Lord, when we face difficulties, may we not feel alone. But like the psalmist, Lord, may we too be aware of your presence and quick to give you thanks for being with us and near us and over us. Lord, we pray that you would sharpen our abilities. Lord, that it would be a hunger within us to engage with you more regularly in prayer. Lord, like the psalmist, that we would awaken early that we could be with you. And Lord, that we would remain up late at night that we may spend time with you. So great is that hunger you may be pleased to work within us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, the one who has made entry into your presence possible. Amen.